Now, she's known to just about everyone in Ireland as Nija's Mrs. Trish, in Love Hate, that is. But in light of recent events, it would seem that Aveen McGinnity has possibly hung up the extensions and the garish clothes that belonged in Trish's wardrobe for the very last time. Dot, dot, dot. Shut up, you. Now she's turning her attention to a role that is a world away from being a gang boss's wife. Dot, dot, dot. Aveen, I should say, has been cast as Jovi in Elf the Musical at the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre, and she's so excited about it, she stopped by for a chat to talk about it and life post-love-hate. Aveen, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Now, let's just take a look, first of all. Coming to terms with the finale of Love Hate, I presume, and if I was to say, were you expecting the reaction towards the last programme, it'd be pretty stupid to say anything otherwise. Of course you were, because it's been building up so much over 5 years. Don't say you were amazed.
I was, though. Well, I didn't think it was going to flop.
Bad start.
But I mean, I thought it was crazy. Like, it was. I was in England. I was over in rehearsals, so I couldn't watch it. Raging. Well, I tried to watch it through my parents' Skype call, which was appalling.
Wait a minute now. They had it on the background while they Skyped you?
Yeah.
Great.
And then I could also hear their live commentary, so it was very funny.
I presume you had seen a final cut of the thing, the programme that was going out, or had you?
No.
Oh, you hadn't?
No.
Oh, so you had done loads of stuff for the last programme or for whatever it is, like this is this scene here, that scene there, and this is like 10 minutes.
Yeah, and it's always really good to see it back, because you do your bits and then you go home and there's so much more going on, and you know, even the way they edit it or the timing, and you kind of, and it's done in May or earlier, it's wrapped in May, so it's really good to see it back. So I had seen most of them, and then this one I was in England, and it was shocking hard. I actually watched one in Spain, easy peasy, it was on in an Irish pub, and then I got to London and I was like, I can't watch it, can't find it anywhere.
Really?
So I had to do the dodgy Skype call, which was useless. So I want to watch it properly now.
Wait a minute, it wrapped in May.
Yeah, it was rough.
And how do you keep your mouth shut June, July, August, September, October?
We're just very disciplined.
Really? Yeah. What if your mum says, darling, Flora, you must tell her something.
Darling. No, I can't. I don't want it anyway. Secret. It's more exciting.
Well, of course you don't want it. That's not what I'm saying. That doesn't mean you won't.
No, nobody's getting nothing.
All right, well then, listen, as people are going to be getting a little bit more, possibly in 2015, am I allowed to give away endings? Yeah, I am, yeah, okay.
Well,
Nige is supposed to be no more. Trish is probably not going to feature, I would imagine. So how do you feel about it all being over, or is it all over for you? Or do you know, or could it possibly be that you'd be called back for any reason under the sun, or what?
I honestly actually don't know.
Yeah.
And I know that's a really boring answer, but I actually don't.
But you must know if it's hard or not hard to say goodbye, because let's face it, it's been 5 years.
I was totally emotional.
Yeah. Even though in between you've done loads of stuff.
Yeah, but it's the biggest sort of job I've ever got. Like in not as in its success. I mean, in terms of being able to play that part and really get into a part for 5 years and go back to it and know somebody so well. And also because it was my second ever job, and then it was, we all became friends. So for all the reasons, completely, like, shooting the last few scenes was like, wow. You know, it was
good. Isn't that the nature of the business that you're in, and you have enough experience of it now, even to know?
It's just,
it's amazing how close you all become over a period of time. And then, do you know what happens the next day? It's over.
Yeah, it's very weird. You do have to get a thick skin, and I mean, that's the beauty of it as well. If you're having a bad time, you can go pretty soon. But no, but the thing is, we're all friends now, and Ireland's so small, and we all work together.
Yeah.
We'll all end up working together in other shapes and forms anyway. So.
And you'd never change anyway, because that means you'd be getting in the way of everything being a new adventure. Everything is a new adventure,
new
and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Okay, now, let's go. I want to go on to that new adventure for the next one, because it is kind of a little bit different, to say the least. Elf.
Slightly different.
You do be in Elf. Is it Jovi? Is that how you pronounce it?
Jovi.
Yeah, okay. So what are you doing in Elf? It's the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre for like a big huge thing for Christmas and all that.
Singing and dancing and acting.
Singing and dancing. It's not the first time you've sung and danced and acted.
No, it's not. But I think this, because I've just gone over, I've just started rehearsals. Well, I feel like I've just started, but we're actually in the middle of them now.
Yeah.
They fly through it over there. It's like a machine, do you know? And everybody's fine with it, you know?
They're over
like,
where? Over the Bord Gáis?
Over in, so we had a first week in London, now we're in Plymouth. It's just, it's all English company. They've all done these kind of things before. They think this is loads of time, and I'm going, oh my God, I've got 3 weeks to sort of get it ready.
Is this the thing that was done on Broadway?
It's been done on Broadway. It hasn't been done in the side of the water yet at all.
Right.
So it's really exciting. But we're fine. We're working away. We have a beautiful big rehearsal space in Plymouth. We're going to do 1 week in Plymouth, and then we're going to come over here in December. So, I mean, yeah, there's a lot to do, but we've done a lot. They work very fast, but I've every faith in them. It's going to be, it's really exciting. Like, you sort of ran through a number the other day, which went from a little acting scene straight into a big sort of Christmassy, sparkly, jolly dance and song, and then back into a little acting scene again. And we sort of ran it together and felt like, oh my God, this has got shape now. It's amazing. It's really come together. I can see what it's going to look like. And I mean, things like the props, like the tree, the Christmas tree and all that, like they're making them now. I can't wait to see it. Because I go to the Bord Gáis lot and I see all these productions and they're so like flawless. You just, you don't see all the hard work. You just see lots of smiles and, you know, it's amazing. And so it's weird to be on the other side of that now and doing something that's going to be coming there. And like, I can't wait. I can't wait to get into running it and doing it and, you know, the tech week where we just go and go and go and go and go and then get into performing it. And
okay, and doing all this kind of thing, I mean, like, do you go home with a smile on your face as it comes together, as the Christmas trees come together, as the tinsel and all the rest of it, and it really seems to work, that musical number works now, as opposed to, did you go home dark as crazy after some love-hate stuff?
Well, there's always a bit
of... almost
it,
have to? Because otherwise you feel you didn't get into the role if you didn't.
Almost, but not really. Like, you also get the slight adrenaline rush as well. So you don't go home... You should go home tired, but you're kind of a wee bit buzzy. You just need to sort of calm yourself and learn your lines for the next day or whatever. It's different with every performance or with every, you know, and some days you go in and you do like one scene and you go home and you're like, that's weird. It's kind of, it's never really the same, which is probably...
Okay, but like without necessarily going totally down the method route of a Daniel Day-Lewis or whatever it happens to be, or you know, sort of Dustin Hoffman being told in Marathon Man, try acting and stop doing that stupid method stuff and all the rest in Strasbourg school, etc. I mean, yeah, just act. Is there an element of though, like, that you just, you have to lose yourself in the role, as something like Love Hate, to the point where you do need to go home at night and you do sit there by yourself with a glass of wine in front of you because you have to chill?
I think everybody has their own ways and it depends on what kind of a day you've had. But you do have to lose... not lose yourself. I mean, that sounds a bit dramatic, but you kind of... If you really fully engage with it and if you want it to look... Everybody has their own ways, but if you want it to look as truthful as possible... I think you kind of have to get really right into it and feel the things so that you're not faking them, you know. So everybody's different and it's kind of hard to articulate what I'm trying to say, but yeah, you get right in there. And that's why it is good whenever you know a character really well and you can get into them.
But is there an element sometimes when you can nearly do too much work? Like, for instance, we had, what do you call her on the programme last week? Jessica Chastain. We were talking to her about doing Miss Julie with Colin Farrell. And she was saying she saw all the plays in the past, saw all the kind of, you know, other productions of it and decided to go for it. Now, you did, what do you call it, the Poison Pen movie. And you had to be something very different there. Ran the full gamut from A to Z, literally, of like being a nice, soft person in one sense, but being as hard owl. I say hard owl bitch.
Hard
but
owl.
An editor owl woman who just had to crack the whip of a major kind of magazine, etc. And in doing that, did you go to like check out Anna Wintour's life or check out all these people who've been women editors? And that's a step too far, is it?
No, it's just, I think sometimes if you're struggling that it's really good to do that kind of stuff. But sometimes it's written in front of you and you learn the lines and you kind of get them in your body as such. You get them, you start, think of physicalities and you think of, you know, think from the inside out rather than what would her face do. You think, how would she feel, and let that come, you know, and just be aware of what your scene is, what its purpose is and what's going on and what's your like desired outcome in that moment and what you're up to and what, you know. And then I love as well when you get to rehearse it, or if sometimes you don't, and usually you don't, but when you run through it on the day, a lot more just comes to life very naturally because there's another actor in the room. And then,
well, does it help then with something like that Poison Pen movie that I mentioned, which we'll talk about in a second too, because like people haven't really necessarily seen that yet, hasn't got a full whack of it kind of
it.
Like
it's doing the festivals.
It's doing really well.
Yeah.
You didn't pop over to Virginia last week to check it out.
Didn't pop over. No, I got to see it in New York and it went down really well over there. Yeah. It was great.
Because like, you know, in something like that, you're there one stage, as I say, being very tough as the editor of this magazine. a man has to come in. What's his name again, your co-actor?
Lachlan O'Mara.
Yeah.
PC Malloy.
Yeah, Lachlan O'Mara comes in, and he's the kind of a guy who wouldn't lower himself by ever going to a gossip magazine.
Oh, he's in a big tizzy then at the end, isn't he? He's gassed.
And then he falls for the whole idea of it, etc. And of course, it's a romantic comedy, so it's not a question of you two falling for each other, it's a question of how you fall for each other.
I guess.
To be blunt, yeah. Now, but at one scene, he's there, and he thinks he's going to get up and sing a song.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And you get up and sing a song, and you're saying, I ain't got nobody or something. Yeah. So you've got form in all of this, and you've done this kind of stuff in London before. It's not as though Elf is that difficult for you.
No, do you know what it is? I feel like rusty, because I'm going back to like, I mean, you should see how hard the ensemble are working. They're just like incredible. They're amazing. They've got about 25,000 dance routines learned off already. So, I've done it all in college. You know, it's all there. Yeah. It's just a wee bit rusty in terms of singing at the same time as rollerblading, ice skating and all that kind of thing, and getting to a position where you can do it 8 times a week. That's the difference. Like, you know, you can sing and dance and act and sort of separately, but do it all together. It's just a different kind of stamina. So that's what I'm kind of trying to build that up now at the minute and get ready.
Okay, by the way, we are talking to A.V. McGinnity. You'll know her best, I suppose, obviously, as Trish in Love, Hate, but we're looking at some of the other stuff that you're going to get to know her with as well. And that movie that I mentioned there, which is Poison Pen, is an Olin Colfer adaptation for the big screen. But you mentioned there about like what you've done or whatever, or can have gone to college or whatever. Like back at the age of 11, you started dance classes and that, which frankly to me is kind of late.
It's very late.
It is, isn't it?
That's why I'm not a prima ballerina.
Yeah, they're usually 6 or 7 of they starting off.
Two.
They're veterans by 11. Yeah. Anyway, when you did you just kind of fall into acting? Was that kind of it? And don't tell me, you had one mentor. She was so fantastic, she told me I have to act.
I genuinely, the truth of why I started that was because I had a friend at home and I was like, what are you doing now? I'm going to dance class. So I just followed her and that was it. I was like it wasn't like I went, I want to be a dancer.
Yeah,
I want to be
of course.
I just went because she was going, and that led to it being very comfortable for me and enjoyable for me. And it wasn't, I didn't have a big revelation or a moment. I just did it and I really enjoyed it. And then when it came to CEO for all the forms and blah blah, I was like, oh, I'm just gonna do like the other things. I can't be arsed.
Yeah, right, exactly,
so then I went then Dublin Dance College, and then London was musical theatre, which
I don't know, when you say Dublin Dance College, what age were you doing Dublin Dance College?
Oh, the College of Dance, I went there in, oh, I was 18, was I?
Oh right, so you were in school age.
I did the leaving,
so
like,
alright,
yeah,
you finished your leaving at home. Alright, I got you. Okay.
And
that was okay, that was good, was it?
That was great.
You better, so, just in case any of the teachers are listening, you better say it was good, right?
Brilliant.
Right,
no, okay. You know what else as well, the discipline you get from
this is what I'm getting to, never lose.
So that was great, did that.
Now hold on, you did that and then you went musical theatre in London. That wasn't so great, or was it? That was tough, was it?
It was tough.
Yeah.
It was really
as
tough.
As in, who are you again? I can't even pronounce your name. Get
I
out there and do it.
I can't pronounce your name. Oh my God, why did mum and dad call me? Yeah, right, you know, no. But it was tough, but again, discipline that you'll never ever lose or forget. And it stood to me because I had a teacher in third year in London called Ian Dewar, and he was like real old-fashioned kind of rad at, and I just loved his classes so much, and it was like what I looked forward to most in the week. And then, so I just knew, I was like, I'm really comfortable with acting, but I want to do everything. And but then my first job just happened to be in a film, in a film for TV after college. So I just went that route, you know. Again, not a big decision, not a big moment, just... Yeah.
It wasn't like you sat down at any age at all and said, I want to be a big actor and make it big in Hollywood and number one.
No, well, I think it's very hard industry to plan things anyway, and I'm not a major planner anyway, one day at a time, like, and then that all worked out. And I do believe in fate, and there's routes for people, and there's probably a few for people, but this is the one I'm on now, and that's it.
By the way, since you've mentioned Ian in London, the least you could do is say, hi Lynn Jackson, you were fantastic as well.
Lynn Jackson, you know everything. She was great. I mean, she was amazing. She had toured the world with the Royal Ballet, and she settled in Monaghan, and we had this, again, kind of old school teacher, like, drilling things into us, and we had ballet exams left, right and centre, and shows every summer and every Christmas, whatever. And that was really, you don't even realise the benefits of it at the time, because you're just a kid hanging around with your friends, going and doing stage things, and then actually it does have great use as you go on. And
You started talking about the Elf thing in terms of it possibly being just different. Is it more difficult than the love-hate stuff?
I can never really answer that question
because it's just different.
They're just different. Yeah. It's so different. Yeah.
Okay, so then, you're doing this then for how long? How long is this going for in the board, Gosh?
So this is like a week in Plymouth and then it's nearly a month in Dublin.
All right.
So
okay.
Short, relatively short, like.
Yeah. And like, what about the other stuff? I mean, like, for instance, a lot of people wouldn't, like, wait a minute, Jimi Hendrix. Now, here's a perfect example, right? Here is a perfect example of having to do your homework. Could you name track 4, side 2 of Are You Experienced?
Oh, no, stop, go away.
No, of course.
Anyway, I
just wonder how much work you might have done. I mean, you're a big shot in it, Rita, right?
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't, but I've heard you are.
I haven't seen it.
Have you not? Yeah.
Dying to see it.
Yes, so am I. By the way, we're talking here about a Jimi Hendrix biopic thingamabob called All By My Side, isn't it?
All Is By My Side.
All Is By My Side, yeah. Jimi Hendrix movie, which a man from Outkast in the main role. So, how did you get on with all the people like Hayley Atwell and Imogen Poots? Or were you working with them?
Basically, my scenes, I was a friend of Hayley Atwell's in it, and that was sort of, most of my scenes were with her, one with Andre Benjamin.
Yeah.
And then, although it was my character was fictional, so I couldn't do any research.
Right. really? All right, you're excused.
You know that scene where Eric Clapton is
Clapton,
on,
go on.
Clapton, sorry. Jesus, I'm trying to think. It's been such a while.
It's like you've never seen
you've
that.
You've caught
thing.
Me off guard. Because I'm in elf mode and I'm like, what?
Hold on. Have you ever seen that thing online called Martin's Life? You've got to look it up. Macaulay Culkin or Culkert or whatever. It's fantastic. And it's about a guy watching Game of Thrones or about a guy getting a haircut. I know that means nothing to you, but check it out. It's only about 30 seconds long, 2 sketches, Martin's Life. It's fantastic and it's an Irishman.
Okay.
Anyway, go on.
Brilliant. No.
On the same level
the
as
scene.
Eric Clapton, whatever you call him. It's Clapton.
Clapton. Well, I don't know where that came from. Elf mode. Clapton. The scene where he's on stage and Jimi Hendrix comes on. Is he's supporting him and then he comes on and kind of blows him away. So we got to do that, which I know was a real scene. So that was cool.
Yeah.
So I mean, it wasn't a massive part. So it was just.
But like again, there's a director here called John Ridley. Do you kind of totally focus in on what he wants you to do? Do you trust him? Is it always to do with script and directors?
He was really lovely because he was really calm. I really enjoyed him because it was such a huge, like, I kind of got a very fluky last minute part in that.
Right.
And it was just from my showreel or something. It wasn't like an audition, so it was very out of the blue, very unexpected. I was very grateful for it. And I was just playing the friend who was like the party girl who kind of said, come on, let's go out and blah, blah, blah. And then she met him there.
Yeah.
But I found his energy so nice. Like, I really remembered. It really stands out in my memory. He was just so calm because it was quite a big, you know, huge producers behind it and big names behind it. And it's very easy sometimes to get a little bit swallowed into that. But he was just cool as a cucumber the whole time, and that was really helpful.
Right, and it's all experience, and it's already, I mean, like, you've done Anglo the Musical, you've done Between Rock and a Hard Place, you did Quirk with Gabriel Byrne, and all of these kind of things. So you have all these things together, then you're the main person in this movie called Poison Pen, which so far has received very good reviews.
Yeah.
It's a romantic comedy, that's where we're just going to put it for the moment, that's exactly what it is. And, it then is the kind of movie that, because it's successful and people like it and the critics are saying it's good, it's the kind of thing that gets this phrase, remade in Hollywood. This could easily happen, right? Okay. If it was remade in Hollywood, would you be going big time for the role and saying, why can't I do it? I'm the one. I could easily do this. Like, are you ever watching stuff like a Reese Witherspoon here or a Jennifer Aniston here saying, look at I could do that?
Well, the whole, like, remade and all that, like, I find sometimes a lot of them big blockbuster Hollywood movies are like a bit overproduced and shiny pearls, if you know what I mean. And I find that a little bit boring. I'm much more attracted to indie movies where there's a bit of, you can see the person's face in it. You can see the person's face moving properly.
Yeah,
you can see realness, you know.
Right, yeah.
And it doesn't look like this big, manufactured, overly produced, shiny, you know. And sometimes when they go and do, like, remakes in Hollywood, it's a bit like...
No, I understand that. I mean, I do realise that. But then again, I could open the door to something else. I'm just like, okay.
Absolutely.
Okay,
I mean,
I'm trying to get you over to Hollywood, okay? So the next way I'll do it is this, okay?
Right, come on.
The next series of Orange Is the New Black comes out, and they need a brand new character. Amazing. And they say, see a woman in there in Love, Hate, Aveen McGinnity. I think we'd go for her. What would you do to say that? Sorry, what would you do there? Say no?
That would be amazing. But that's really gritty, that show. Like, it's cool. It's not like... over, you know, all the other stuff I was saying earlier about like that shiny thing. Do you know what I mean?
I do. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, but I mean, at the same token, like you look at something like Orange Is the New Black, you absolutely love it. So therefore, it'd be something you'd say. I wouldn't mind doing a bit of that.
Yeah.
Do you watch yourself on screen? Like, I mean, I interviewed John Malkovich there a little while back, and he said, I mentioned four movies to him, and he said, listen, I've never seen them. And I do believe that. I actually believe he never has. I think a lot of people can't stand seeing themselves.
It's not the easiest thing in the world, I have to say. No, but you have to get a wee bit better at it.
But do you do it? Because do you get anything from it? Like, a lot of people watch themselves on screen four and five times to actually get the proper homework done.
I'm not there, but I actually am starting to veer towards thinking that it would actually be beneficial because you see what you're doing with your face. But then at the same time, I also think sometimes you just not go too far into that either because you just become self-conscious.
Yeah.
And nobody, I don't know what this theory is called, but nobody, it's like the sound of your own voice. Nobody knows the sound of their own voice. Nobody knows what they actually look like. Do you know? Because you're always going to say something else because you're in you, if
you
know what I mean.
Of course, yeah.
So you don't want to go too far down that route and get self-conscious.
No, but by the same token, just to get back to something I was saying earlier on, if the proper thing from New York or LA called, you'd be there like in a shot, yeah? Proper thing.
If it was great, yeah.
If it was a great person to work with or a great script or whatever.
Great, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, okay, well, at the moment then, finally, let's go back to where we are here in Dublin's Fair City. You're on stage at the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre in Elf. What are the dates for Elf again?
The 16th of December.
Look at her looking. They all do that. They never know what the hell they're doing, these famous stars. Oh, sorry, I have it here. Elf is running at the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre from December 16th to January 10. Tickets available from ticketmaster.ie.
That's right.
Very good. Nobody calls it love/hate, no?
No.
Right, fair enough.
Love and hate.
All right, okay. Well, listen, look, Eivin, thanks a million for talking to us, and Gnairi and Boherlath, because I know it will.
Go to my
good luck, and take it easy. Thanks a million. Take it easy.